We're going to be continuing with the series asking the question, who is Jesus? And this is the most important question we can ever deal with in this life. And this is the most important question you will ever deal with, my friend. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is? You remember Jesus asked his disciples, well, this was well into his ministry, getting near the end of his ministry. And they were walking along one day, and Jesus overheard his disciples talking about who various people were saying Jesus was. And some were saying he was a prophet, and some were saying he was Elijah, and some were saying that he was just a great teacher, and a Messiah, or the rabbi, the teacher. And Jesus was listening to this, and he said, but who do you say that I am? It's fine for what others say, but Jesus was stressing it's important, most of all, to you, what you believe. So he said, who do you say that I am? And you remember that Peter spoke up, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded to Peter at that moment, and he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has opened your heart and opened your spirit to understand who I am, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And this was the first proclamation, really, of this by the disciples, as recorded in the scriptures. Now, we're going to see some witness, very early witness, of some of the disciples today of who Jesus is here in John chapter 1 and following. So, we're dealing with the question, who is Jesus? We've previous sessions dealt with 13 witnesses from the angel speaking to Mary and prophesying the birth of Jesus, all the way through John the Baptist at Jesus' baptism, proclaiming that he is the Son of God. So let's begin there today in our study, and let's begin with John the Baptist and just review a moment what John was saying of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he, that is the Spirit, remained on him, Jesus. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And John then says, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So John bears very concrete witness to this being the Son of God. He was told that the one upon whom he saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove and remaining upon him would be the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. And he says, I saw it, and I bear witness to it. So John is a very concrete witness, John the Baptist, that this is Jesus, the Son of God. And then again, the next day, I'm reading from verse 35, and again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus, and he walked, and behold, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, these were two disciples that were disciples of John. See, he was standing there with two of his disciples, and when he looked upon Jesus, and behold, said, "Behold the Lamb of God," those two disciples left John and began to follow Jesus. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come, and you will see." And they came, therefore, and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. Now, Andrew is saying and bearing witness and testifying to his brother Simon, who is later to be known as Peter, that we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. We found the promised one. So here Andrew, who was one of John the Baptist's disciples, and now becomes the first of the disciples of Jesus, bears witness to his brother Simon that this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. We found him. Come and see. Verse 42, he brought him, that is Simon, or Andrew rather, brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. So right from the very beginning, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter. Now, we often will read Simon's name as Simon Peter, using his old name and his new name that Jesus gave him as well. So here Andrew bears witness to his brother Peter that this is the Christ. We found the Messiah. So right from the very beginning, see, Andrew was present when John baptized Jesus because he was a disciple of John. Andrew was present the next day when Jesus came and John said to his two disciples with him, "Behold the Lamb of God." This is him, John the Baptist is saying. And Andrew, at that point, changes from being a disciple of John the Baptist to being a disciple of Jesus. Now, there was a second person with John the Baptist at that time, a second disciple. And it says in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So it's Andrew and another disciple, both of whom had been disciples of John the Baptist, and now they follow Jesus. And Andrew takes Jesus, takes his brother Simon to Jesus to meet him, and Andrew declares to Simon that we have found the Messiah. We've located him. He's here. And Messiah means the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Promised One of the Old Testament. So Simon is brought to Jesus, and Jesus says from this point forward, Simon, you will be called Cephas or Peter. Verse 43 of John chapter 1, the next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. So now we have Andrew and then his brother Simon Peter or Peter, and now Philip from the same little city of Bethsaida. And verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, notice that Peter doesn't just come right out and say, "We found the Messiah," but he does say, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." Now, they wrote very clearly about the coming Messiah. So by saying this, Philip is saying, "We found the Messiah. We found the one of whom Moses spoke and wrote. We found the one of whom the prophets spoke and wrote." And he refers to him here, though, as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he speaks in very natural terms. when he's speaking to his brother Nathanael. Verse 46, and Nathanael said to him, to Philip, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? In other words, is it possible for anything good to come out of the city of Nazareth? And, of course, that question is soon answered for Nathanael. And Philip said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and Jesus said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now this speaks, of course, of Jesus' ability that goes beyond the natural. His ability is the Son of God. His ability is God to see, while he's at a distance, to see something that our natural eyes could not see. Verse 49, Nathanael answered him and said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So here is Nathanael bearing witness to the fact that you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. In other words, you are the promised one, you're the Messiah. So Nathanael is proclaiming this as well. So we have Andrew proclaiming it to his brother Simon, who is named Peter. And then we have Philip coming aboard, and Philip finding Nathanael, and claiming to say coming to tell Nathanael that we have found the one of whom Moses spoke and of whom the prophet spoke. In other words, Philip really is just saying we found the Messiah, because that's the one of whom the prophet spoke and Moses spoke. And then when Nathanael is introduced to Jesus, and Jesus speaks to him, Nathanael answers him and says, Rabbi, or teacher, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Do you believe because of this, Simon? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, that is, Jesus said to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God descending and ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, Jesus is simply saying that you'll see, Nathanael, greater things than this. You'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And Jesus, of course, is referring to himself here. So he's really bearing witness of himself that I am the Son of God. I am the Son of Man, promised. I'm the one of whom Moses spoke. I'm the one of whom the prophet spoke. So he's confirming really what Philip had said to Nathanael. Now notice here by the end of the first chapter of John, we have Jesus beginning his ministry, being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and we have him gathering Andrew, who was originally a disciple of John the Baptist, who becomes the first apostle or first disciple of Jesus. And then Andrew goes to Simon, his brother, and declares that we found the Messiah, the Christ. And then they come to Philip, and Jesus says to Philip, follow me, and he followed him along with Andrew and Peter. And then Philip found Nathanael and told Nathanael to come and see this prophet, the one of whom Moses spoke and the prophets spoke, the promised Messiah. Nathanael comes and in verse 49 declares that you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So by the end of John chapter 1, we have Jesus beginning his ministry, and we have Andrew bearing witness of who Jesus is. We have Philip bearing witness of who Jesus is. We have Nathanael bearing witness of who Jesus is. And Jesus now has four disciples, four apostles following him, and they are Andrew and his brother Simon or Peter, and then Nathanael, and then Philip, or Philip and then Nathanael. So we have those four, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael, now who are witnesses and disciples of Jesus. And of those four, we have record here in John chapter 1 of Andrew, of Philip, and Nathanael, testifying that this is the Christ, the Son of God. So from that, we begin chapter 2 and John's first sign, the first of seven signs that John records. We would record these as the miracles of Jesus. John refers to them as signs because you remember Jesus said the Jews require a sign. The Jews require being able to see something, experience it with their senses. So John is writing these and referring to them as signs that this is the Christ. John is presenting these miracles as proof, as signs that this is really Jesus the Christ. So in chapter 2, we have, first of all, the wedding at Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle. And in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we're told that Jesus manifested his glory. Now, I'm not going into the events here, but remember that Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And he manifested his glory, verse 11, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, the disciples saw this, of course. You might say that his mother, Mary, was bearing a witness of who Jesus is by her actions and her words during this story of the wedding at Cana, because it was Mary who really said to Jesus, here's the problem, will you fix it, Jesus? In verse 3, she says to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So Jesus told them in verse 7 to fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up, and they brought them to him. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. And they took it to him. And, of course, the head waiter tastes it and says, my, you've saved the best wine until last. You've just reversed what is ordinarily the case at the wedding feast. You've saved the good wine, the best wine, until last. So Jesus performs a miracle here at the wedding of Cana, turning the water into wine. And this is the first of the signs that John records, saying that this is proof positive that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, it seems to me that John goes from progressively in his signs from the simplest of things, turning water into the wine, to the perhaps the most difficult of things in the minds of man, and that is raising Lazarus from the dead, which John records as his seventh sign as proof that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Well, let's move on to chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 now. This is in the temple at Jerusalem, and Jesus is in the temple, and he and his disciples stayed there a few days, and the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. And, of course, that is from Psalm 69, verse 9, a quote from the Old Testament. Now, here is where Jesus scourges the temple or cleanses the temple the first time. He actually does this at the beginning of his ministry, and then he does it in the final week of his ministry, in the week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. In the day or two before his crucifixion, he scourges the temple again. He cleanses the temple again. And he says, "You have made it a den of thieves. This is my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." So here Jesus is bearing witness as to who he is in verse 16 when he declares, "Stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise, a place of business. It's a place of prayer." And he refers, of course, to his Father's house. And this is the first record we have here in John of him proclaiming that this God is his Father. Now, remember back when he was 12 years of age, he testified to his mother Mary that he had been there in the temple about his Father's business. So even there, at 12 years of age, Jesus is declaring that God is his Father, and his business is doing the Father's business. And this is what he's really saying here at the beginning of his ministry, when he cleanses the temple for the first time. "You are making my house, my Father's house, a house of merchandise. It's a house of prayer." And he scourges and cleanses the temple, and he declares that this is my Father's house, declaring himself to be the Son of God. Now, we go to chapter 3 of John then for the next witness. And in chapter 3 of John, we have Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And Nicodemus comes seeking truth, comes to him and refers to him as Rabbi. "We know that you have come from God as a teacher, because no one can do the things we've seen you do unless God is with him." In verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, "Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus and Jesus then have the discussion about being born again. And Nicodemus, of course, is really confused as to what this means. He says, "Can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I've said to you, you must be born again." Jesus was declaring that Nicodemus and all men had to be born again. Nicodemus responds to Jesus in verse 9, and he says, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not understand these things? Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, we speak of that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witnesses or our witness." So he's saying to Nicodemus, "You're not getting it, Nicodemus. You're not understanding it. You're trying to look at it through the natural. And what I'm speaking of is spiritual. That which is spirit is spirit, and that which is flesh, and you must be born of the Spirit," as he was saying. Now, Jesus goes ahead then to testify to Nicodemus at this point. "If I told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things, Nicodemus? And no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man." And he's here simply declaring, "I am he. I'm standing before you, Nicodemus. You're not getting it. You're not understanding it. But I came down from heaven. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of God. And as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God," or the Son of Man, "be lifted up." Now, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "I must be lifted up. I must be crucified. I must be lifted up on the cross as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Moses did this. That whoever believes in him, in the Son of Man, in me," he's saying, "may have eternal life." And then in verse 16 and following, this is the beautiful scripture where Jesus is testifying, "For God, my Father, so loved the world," or mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's me, Nicodemus, that whosoever believes in him, in me, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him, in the Son of God, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus is testifying to Nicodemus that I am the Son of God. Nicodemus, you need to believe in me. You need to trust in me. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must believe in Jesus, accept Jesus. You must believe in me, for God sent me into the world. So Jesus himself is testifying here in John 3:16 that I am the Son of God. God sent me into the world. My Father sent me into the world. I come to be lifted up on the cross. I come to be the sacrifice for all mankind. So Jesus testifies here that he is God's Son, that he is indeed the Son of God. If we move on over to verse 36, the last verse here in John chapter 3, Jesus says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, Jesus makes it very clear that he is the Son of God, and that you must believe in the Son of God. You must, in other words, believe in me, Jesus said, in order to have eternal life. Moving over to John chapter 14, verse 6 for a moment, Jesus declares that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So here today we have the witness of a number of instances, number of individuals. We have the witness of Andrew. We have the witness of Philip. We have the witness of Nathanael. We have the witness of John the Baptist. We have the witness of the miracle or the sign of Jesus at the wedding of Cana. And we have then the witness of Jesus to Nicodemus, and the fact that he is bearing witness of the fact that he is the Son of God. So Jesus himself bears witness here, and this will be the last one we'll have time to discuss today. But again, witness after witness bears witness to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only one who takes away the sin of the world, the only one who was able to go to the cross and pay sin's debt with the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life, the only one in whom is life. I pray today that you have trusted Jesus. If not, do so. Only in Jesus Christ do we find salvation. We find salvation nowhere else, in no one else, in nothing else other than Jesus. And this is a good word from God's holy word today.